The West cannot hide. They cannot claim ignorance. Nobody can say they didn't know. We live in an era of technology, and this has been described as the first live stream genocide in history, and I believe that to be true. They are conducting a genocide now with glee. They're setting their atrocities to music and putting them on catchy reels on TikTok. Ordinary Israelis see what their military is doing and celebrate it. It's not just fringe elements who see this and think it's a good thing.
When a nation protects its home, it fights. And we will fight until we'll break their backbone. It's not true. This rhetoric about civilians not aware, not involved, it's absolutely not true. It's an entire nation out there that is responsible.
Gaza becomes a strip in 1948 with the creation of the State of Israel. 750,000 people are driven from their homes in what Palestinians call the Nakba, or catastrophe. Close to a third of refugees end up in Gaza. In 1967, Gaza and the West Bank are occupied by the Israelis. After the Israelis withdraw settlements from Gaza in 2005, Hamas wins elections throughout the occupied territories. It advocates resistance to Israeli occupation and is proscribed as a terrorist organization in the West. When it takes control of Gaza in 2007, Israel imposes a blockade. In the years that follow, it carries out a number of attacks on Gaza, citing security requirements. Thousands of Palestinians are killed. ...1,200 Hamas fighters storm through the fence separating the Gaza Strip from Israel.
The main goal was to bring the Palestinian cause on the table and to oblige all the politicians in the region and outside the region that no one can bypass the Palestinian, no one can overcome the Palestinian cause. And without solving this, no one can enjoy security or stability.
More than 1,000 Israelis are killed. More than 250 hostages are taken.
The impact of October 7 is immense. It's a society in complete trauma. We could never in our worst nightmare think that October 7 would happen.
The aura of Israeli invincibility disappeared on the 7th of October last year.
Israel has survived because neighbors have always believed that Israel was omnipotent, a country that cannot be defeated militarily. And then over a couple of hours, all of this fell apart. Immediately became clear to most Israelis they're not secure, and the enemies around it are not deterred.
This is what Israel is desperately now trying to restore, the strategic posture of deterrence to make themselves feel safe.
And I think from the beginning, it was obviously that in order to restore deterrence, it will respond disproportionately. But we can't escape that there was a strong element of avenging and revenging.
אנחנו מטילים מצור מוחלט על העיר עזה. אין חשמל, אין מזון, אין מים, אין דלק. הכל סגור. אנחנו נלחמים בחיות אדם ואנחנו נוהגים בהתאם.
This investigation assembles evidence of war crimes committed during the year-long Israeli assault on the Gaza Strip and of complicity in those crimes. The evidence includes the voices of those who ordered the assault.
נקה בהם עד חורמה וננקום בעוצמה על היום השחור הזה שהם הוללו למדינת ישראל ולאזרחיה.
Those who supported it those who enabled it.
The United States stands with Israel. We will not ever fail to have their back.
Those who endured it. And above all, those who inflicted it. Al Jazeera's investigative unit has compiled a database of over 2,500 social media accounts containing photos and videos placed online by Israeli soldiers.
It is a treasure trove which you very seldom come across. So to have that is something which I think prosecutors will be licking their lips at.
Do you know anything about that? What can you report at this stage? All right. Yumna, please take cover.
We knew that this or the retaliation is going to be so much bigger than before.
This is a missile attack on Palestine Tower, right in the middle of Gaza City.
Yumna, take a moment to breathe.
But we didn't expect it.
Take a moment to breathe.
In no means to be what it has turned out to be. The fact that there are Israeli captives in the strip, wouldn't that be a red line for Israel, that it would be afraid for its captives? Even if Israel wanted to cross these red lines, we thought for sure that the world would stand and say no.
You wake up every morning thinking that this would be actually your last day. You know, you might be next. There have been journalists and human rights workers who have been directly killed during the previous attacks. But this war, it was more like systematic attacks, systematic targeting of civilians, of journalists, of human rights workers. So it's been a struggle since the beginning of this war. realizing that what you're doing is actually not only risking your own life, but the life of your family, the lives of those taking shelter with you, everyone who you could be around.
كان تم استهداف بيوت حوالينا بدون سابق انذار كانت تم قصفها فوق رؤوس ساكنيها انا رب الاسره انه اكون انا اللي قدر الامكان كنت احاول انه اتظاهر بالشجاعه والخوف انه ما فيش خوف وهذه الاشياء عاديه وبعيده عنا لكن المشكله انه كانت تنهال علينا على البيت وعلى الشبابيك وعلى كذا تكسر الزجاج والقذائف تدخل البيت والشظايا
So many times when I went after a bombing that just happened, I literally felt like I was standing over a mass grave, but not just a grave of people who are dead, but people who are alive and they're stuck there.
وقف لي شغل شوي ابعد من ورايا ابعد من ورايا بسرعه ابعد من ورايا
You may be strong enough on your own to defend yourself, but as long as America exists, you will never ever have to. We will always be there by your side.
Israel orders the 1.1 million residents of northern Gaza to evacuate to the south of the Gaza River Valley. Many are unable or unwilling. Less than 3 weeks after October 7th, 16% of the buildings in northern Gaza have been damaged or destroyed. The official death toll stands as 7,028. An Israeli magazine later reveals artificial intelligence is being used to identify targets.
The Israeli army has marked tens of thousands of Gazans as suspects for assassination.
972 interviewed acting members of the military. The reason that AI was being used, basically, according to those Israeli sources, is that they wanted a tempo of attacks that was faster than could be humanly sustained. How does the AI decide who is killable? It will look at everything that can be scraped about you, from surveillance, from spying, from your social media profile, from who your phone is near when you're walking around, who you're meeting, and they'll give you a number. And if your number out of 100 is above a certain threshold, then you can be attacked and killed. Where are you attacked and killed? Well, there's another AI called Where's Daddy? And according to this reporting in 972, again, based on what Israeli military officials told these journalists, it's easier to kill somebody when they're home than it is when they're out in the street. So this AI will monitor the location of your cell phone, your smartphone, and when it arrives at the location that's been determined to be your residence, then there will be a ping to the guy who can target your house and bring it down. I guess whoever came up with this name, Where's Daddy, thought that many of them would be fathers. And that's why it's called Where's Daddy. When they reach their homes, Daddy's home, and then the entire house and everybody in it could be blown up.
مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
اللي بكون في داخل البيت ما بيسمع شيء ولا بحس في أي شغلة طبعا احنا موجودين في البيت وانا على الدرج طالع انا وزوجتي وابن اخي امامي. تم قصف البيت علينا بثلاث صواريخ فنزل البيت فينا. انا لما نصحيت من الصدمه ومن الضرب صرت انادي اولادي تحت، هم ينادوا علي. عرفت حالي انه الحمد لله انا بخير، زوجتي ماسك في ايدها، لكن رحمه ربنا انه احنا دخلنا بين طبقتين من الدرج وسحبونا بين بناتهم.
Hello, I'm Nick Clark. This is the news hour live from Doha. Our colleague from Al Jazeera Arabic has just learned that his wife and other members of his family have been killed in an airstrike. The entire team here in Doha is offering our sincere condolences.
The family of Wael Dahtu, Al Jazeera's Gaza bureau chief, is killed in a strike on the Nusarat refugee camp in central Gaza, supposedly part of the safe zone south of the Gaza River Valley. The family had evacuated from the north of the strip.
The attack resulted in the killing of Wael's wife, his daughter Sham, his son Mahmoud, his grandson Adam, and the injury of other family members. For him to be targeted, for his family to be targeted, it's very devastating for us as journalists. For us, it felt like that red line being crossed.
At the end of October, Yumna El Sayed's own family is still in Gaza City, in the north of the Strip.
It was less than a week after the killing of Wael's family. A call comes from a private number on my husband's mobile phone. The officer identifies himself as the IDF officer, and he was like, "We know who you are. Take your family and leave your home, otherwise your lives are in danger." So my husband was like, "So if you know who I am, then you know that the bombardments around my home are nonstop. How do you expect me to take my kids and leave my home in such a time and risk their lives?" And he was like, "This is your problem. You need to figure it out." And I can't get over my 12-year-old Aline. When this happened, she screamed at me. She was like, "They're gonna kill us because of you. They're gonna kill us because of you."
The destruction in Gaza sparks a TikTok craze in Israel. Civilians dress up as caricatures of Palestinians and mime to an Israeli song called "This Was My Home." An influencer suggests Palestinians are faking their injuries. Another influencer taunts Palestinians for the loss of water and electricity. These videos are shared many thousands of times. After 3 weeks of bombardment, Israeli ground troops enter northern Gaza.
Everyone in the building was screaming. Everyone. It was like the kids are screaming, we're hugging each other, We're under the kitchen bar. We're terrified. And then they decided to speak to us in their mics. And they said that we have 5 minutes to leave the building. So we grabbed our children and we got into our cars and we left.
There's a lot of gunfire ongoing now, exchange of gunfire and bullets. So we just started heading out. Just nothing safe at all. Nothing at all feels safe.
Thousands of other families are trying to flee Gaza City at the same time.
Moving to the south, you had to do it on foot. No cars were allowed to drive in that area.
23-year-old freelance journalist Mohamed Al-Helou has already narrowly escaped death a number of times. He too is fleeing south.
وانا بجري ولقيت الدبابات في كل مكان. لقيت طبعا زنانات فوقي والطيارات. لقيت الدبابه في كل مكان عند التشريع قناصات وين مكان. ممنوع لا تطلع لا يمين ولا شمال، ممنوع توقف، لو وقع منك هويتك. هويتك ممنوع توطي تجيبها ضلك ماشي على طول.
We were asked to walk holding a white flag in one hand, raising the ID on the other hand. Everyone, including the children. They would stop people while they're walking. Then they say, this person wearing this color shirt, get out of the line. And then they would make them strip completely to their underwear in front of everyone.
On the final stretch out of Gaza City, thousands wait to enter what the Israelis call the humanitarian corridor, supposedly a safe route to the south.
هذه مش طريق آمنة، هاي كذبة إنه هاي الطريق آمنة. فون جسس على الأرض، هاي الجسس شو مالها؟ مطخوخ مطخوخ هنا مطخوخ هنا. الشارع شفت سيارات محروقة، فعرفت إنه هاد مش طريق آمنة.
Those who were killed, everything was left on the ground for the people who were crossing to see. I made my children promise me they would not look at the ground at all, not once. I just instructed them to look straight. Do not look at the ground. Do not look down.
As Palestinians flee, Israeli soldiers enter the homes they have left behind.
I will burn their city to the ground. I will find every rat hole that they hide in. And I will drop down enough explosives to scare God all mad.
Soldiers post thousands of photos and videos on social media. The I unit has identified many of them.
These videos don't show a professional army. They show an army that at times appears to almost completely lack any self-discipline. To the point where one thinks it's not just personal lack of discipline, it's an institutional lack of discipline.
under international law, you're not allowed to destroy ordinary civilian property. There doesn't appear to be any military objectives. It's something of a scorched earth policy where everything is destroyed, and it makes it very difficult to reconstruct civilian life thereafter.
Soldiers loot and pillage.
The International Criminal Court has jurisdiction to look at precisely these allegations where civilian property has been targeted and where civilian property is being looted. I see there are some identities given here. So depending on that evidence, charges could be brought.
Many Israeli soldiers are dual nationals.
So I'm going through these terrorist houses looking for guns and explosives that we found money. At every single house inside of Gaza, this is what I say, every single, unbelievable. Two or three doors stuffed with the most exotic laundry that you can imagine. Just pile loads of it. Pile every single house. Stuffed to the brim, look at that. Unbelievable. These naughty, naughty Gazans.
There seems to be this strange obsession amongst many Israeli soldiers for women's underwear. I'm not sure if it's intended to titillate or humiliate.
Sharing these kind of images, per se, is not a crime, but it could be used as relevant evidence to show the mindset of the soldiers concerned and the discipline or lack thereof of those soldiers.
And it's strange, these videos seem apparently to be quite popular inside Israel. This is the bit, you know, they're being used on dating sites. Lots of people say Israeli forces shouldn't be allowed to take cameras and phones into combat. I'm glad that they are allowed to, because it allows the world to witness what's happening.
The things that are really shocking to me is the repeated posting of videos of detainee humiliation. Naked Palestinian detainees with headbands and zip ties on their arms being paraded around, insulted, mistreated in many cases. These are really blatant violations of international law, and yet they keep being posted by the perpetrators. It's really astonishing.
Some of these videos have horrified me. This footage breaks every norm of the treatment of detainees or the treatment of prisoners of war. It breaks every accepted standard practice and norm.
Many Palestinian detainees say they are abused.
أخذوا ابني الكبير اللي هو العريس هذا وتم تعذيبه وأنا أسمع صراخه وخنقه يعني كانوا يخنقوا فيه وضربوا فيه الجنود في الغرفة المجاورة يعني طبعا إحنا ما كان استطعنا إنه البنادق على رؤوسنا نستطيع نعمل أي حراك يعني هو حكى لابني إنه إحنا يعني فيش حاجة بتمنعنا عن قتلكم احنا ممكن نقتلكم كلكم عادي يعني ما 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 حدا حيردعنا ولا حدا حيحاسبنا
فكل الربط عن عيني يمنع بطني في ريحة بشعة كريهة كتير. لأنا برفع راسي زي هيك لأنا نايم على جثة كانت تقريبا يعني شبه متحللة كانت. كان بخرج منها دود في ذاك اليوم. بعد زي هيك اللي هو رجع عني تقريبا 10 متر لو سحب علي أجزاء باروت اللي هو بقول لي إذا ما قلتش من أنه نفق أنت طلعت حقتلك مكان الجثة هذا. يعني ما ضلش يعني.
A French
Israeli soldier says a detainee has been tortured.
Torture is one of the most serious international crimes. Very often, though, it's difficult to get evidence. This kind of material where you have persons on camera admitting that they have participated in torture would be very useful to any investigator or a prosecutor.
Female detainees are also abused.
أنا كنت لأن والدة قيصر ارتبت عملية القيصرية إيه كان بالكلاش إنه يخبطني بظهري بإيدي كان لابس زي حديد يخبط على راسي ويخبط ويضرب كل ما أقول له يعني كنت أقول له رخي العصبة يشد أكثر.
The soldiers remove Hadil Dakhtu's headscarf. She's the only woman in a truck full of men.
وبالنقلة كان كتير يعني عيلات يعني في غرب بس كانوا يعني زي إخوتي برضو يعني كانوا واقفين معايا كانوا يقولوا لي إن شاء الله يكونوا بخير.
A star of David is carved into a detainee's back.
Persons are being blindfolded, hooded, beaten, humiliated. The law prohibits persons from being treated in a manner that doesn't comply with normal human standards. So they have to be treated humanely. And what we're seeing here is the exact antithesis of that.
ככה יעשה לכל אויבינו לא ישתמם לזכר וקליט נשמיד אותם עד אפר שלוש קודקוד.
The destruction of buildings is regularly featured, often set to music.
You see huge blocks getting blown up, universities getting blown up.
Yes!
It's just extraordinary. This is willful destruction. The fact that they've been able to rig these buildings up with explosives shows very clearly that there's no current threat from those buildings.
There's no justification for destroying a structure if the enemy isn't in it.
I asked an IDF officer in late 2023 why they were blowing up and destroying buildings, especially civilian infrastructure across Gaza that clearly has no military value and has no link to active fighting. And he said basically that it's an act of punishment by destroying every sort of infrastructure, any link, any reference to Hamas. Anything that Hamas has touched will be destroyed.
By the 28th of December, 69% of the buildings in northern Gaza have been damaged or destroyed, and 27% in southern Gaza. At least 21,110 have been killed. On that day, Israeli troops occupy Kirbit Gazar, a town of 13,000 people, which lies just across the fence from the Israeli kibbutz near Oz, which was attacked on October 7th. At the end of the operation in Kirbet Kazar, soldiers post before and after shots.
What we're seeing here is the complete decimation of a village. The soldiers give very detailed reasons why they embarked upon this. None of them are for military purposes. The justification that is given is one of revenge. And under international humanitarian law, it is strictly prohibited to use reprisals against the civilian population of your enemy.
The revenge rhetoric that we've heard from some Israeli soldiers, it's disturbing. The large-scale, unnecessary destruction of civilian property. It's prohibited in the Geneva Conventions. It's prohibited under the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. You can't go around wantonly, unnecessarily destroying civilian property. It's banned. And if you do enough of it, it's a war crime.
The unit that destroys Kirbet Kazar is Israel's 8219 Combat Engineering Battalion, which has already destroyed hundreds of buildings in Gaza City. Its commander is Lieutenant Colonel Meir Devdevani.
The International Criminal Court will look for those who are high up the chain of command, and evidence coming directly from commanders about the orders that they gave and the way in which they command and control their troops would be vital evidence.
Devdevani addresses the unit at the end of the operation. His comments are recorded in a war diary posted on Facebook by one of his troops.
He said, "We have stopped counting the number of buildings the battalion blew up. There is no precedent for this in the whole history of the Israeli army. We have become addicted to explosions."
By the end of January, close to 90% of the population of the Gaza Strip has been displaced at least once from their homes.
There is this kind of dark matter of pain. People live in a kind of heightened fight or flight mode that never subsides. They are always on alert. There's always this sort of baseline terror.
A third of the dead are children.
Because I run a children's organization, I was very interested in speaking with them and understanding their needs and understanding what they're going through. So I interviewed a lot of kids. Some of them told me that they just want to die, but they want to die in one piece. They're scared of being shredded.
Yes,
Israeli ground forces close in on the Nasser hospital in the city of Khan Yunis. Among those taking refuge there is journalist Mohammed Al-Helou. His footage will provide a unique record of the siege and assault on Gaza's second largest hospital.
Here I'm trying to take a videos. Here he shot me in my back. And because my vest, I am still alive. And here you can see the sniper. Oh.
أصابتني طلقة القناص بشكل مباشر لكن الحمد لله أنا سليم فقط أصابت الدرع الخاص بي الحمد لله رب العالمين يا نهار اسود ومنيل لسه ما سميناش
and here is the vest like I can't understand why he has shot me.
A sniper kills a child at the hospital gates. It is too dangerous to collect his body. Mohammed films the forced evacuation of displaced people from the UN school opposite the hospital. That evening, Mohammed is almost killed again.
When I am walk here with my friend Ibrahim, his assistant camera, and suddenly the shot, maybe a sniper or quadcopter, and my friend Ibrahim, he's shot in his legs by Israel. Two shot. And I am running away to emergency, like I am drop myself like so fast, but he can't and he's shot.
When is Ibrahim?
Here is Ibrahim stuck in this tent. And he is he's so dangerous. Here the doctor, he tell him what he can do to stay alive because we can't get him, we can't take him. Here is Dr. Hero, Amira. Here, she give me her t-shirt to save, and I'm take this t-shirt now. And here some nurse saying, no, don't go. It's so dangerous. They shot here. She's saying, no, be silent, please. Don't make me stressed. And here she's saying, silent. And she's really angry. She needs help. She's a hero. And here she really going. And she saved Ibrahim's life. She saved it. She's saying here, he's alive. Help me. And the doctor really going and help her. And I'm taking this video and I can't believe this. This is my friend, he's beside me. He's shot. And I can't help him, but this here woman, she helped him. Then the woman is like really healed. Palestinian woman is like the best woman in all the world.
شعور صعب جدا جدا انه انت يكون زميلك قدامك ومش قادر تنقذه شعور لا يوصف.
3 days later, a tank orders the evacuation of the hospital, referring to those inside as al-hayawanat, animals.
And he's saying, go out, animals, dogs. He speak people like animals, dogs, go out.
The Israelis send a Palestinian detainee to tell the people to leave. His name is Jamal Abu Alola. His mother is inside the hospital.
جري جراي حتى ما لبست برجلين من كثر ما انا كنت بدي اطمن على ابني وجراي فتت على الطوارئ لقيت الكل متجمر النازحين متجمرين مع جمال هو شافني ساعتها انا حضنته هو حضني اول كلمه حكاها وبكى قال لي موتوني يا ماما القتل انا جاي برساله للمستشفى للنازحين يخرجوا غير 10 دقائق وتطلعوا وإلى المستشفى حيفجروها فينا وفيك ويقتلوك إذا أنا ما رجعت بضلش في إسعاف في مخي تلون تروح يما تبتش عليهم يما خليك هنا قولي لا يما ما بنفع ضلي حيقتلوك بهدد فيك أنا ثواني كان الكلام مع جمال وطار طار زي الحمامة قدامي
What we appear to be seeing here is a civilian being used to be a messenger, used as a military asset. That's, in many ways, the definition of using persons as a human shield, to shield what you're trying to do as the army by putting people in harm's way. That's prohibited under international law.
الاحتلال الآن بشكل رسمي بيعلن انه يجب اخلاء المستشفى بشكل كامل وفوري وسريع حقيقه يعني لا اعلم اين الوجهه التي سنتوجه اليها وهل هناك طريق امن كما يدعي على ثقه هذا انظر يامرنا بالاخلاء ويقوم باطلاق النار بشكل متواصل
Shortly afterwards Jamal returns
Here we can see in this video, here, he's trying saying, go out. But people is worried because it's not safe. It's a liar. It's a big liar, massive liar.
Jamal's mother is among a small group of people who follow Jamal.
I went to the house and I thought in a moment, واطلع في شنط حتى الناس لما تشوفني انا كامه ان اطلعت كمان انا يطلعوا معايا ويسلم ابني وما ينقتلش فحين ما اقول لك انا عند ما عديت بدي اعدي على جمال بالشناتي جمال تم قنصه الطلقه الاولى ارتمى فيها على ظهر ابني دفع على ظهره صرخ بعلى الصوت ساعتها يمه اي امه ساعتها انا كانه حاسس ان انا وراه صرخت كمان أنا حتى عليه قلت له يما أنا بظهرك هيني وراك أنا حفوت على الجوال مستشفى أجيب كيس عفوك بالي في رجله بس تعرف إنها مميتة كانت لابني طخوها للطلقة كمان طلقتين لما طخوا التنتين كان جسمه جمال يهتز ما رحموهوش يعني بطلقة واحدة أو بس مستشفى جمال طبعا الضرب والتنكيل اللي صار فيه وتعذيب هذا احنا شفنا بس اللي على وجهه سنة لما دخلوه على العناية كان دم كل جسمه
The following day the displaced people finally leave the hospital led by the hospital's director The long journey south lasts into the night.
شفت كل هذه الطريقة حاج مشي حافي؟
Among them is Mohammed's injured friend, Ibrahim.
اليهود على أعمال قدامك بتشوفهم واقفين ضربوا ويمشي
تعرف ان احنا بقعنا بقعنا خلاص تعبنا. وين الشعب العربي؟ وين العالم كلها بتطلع لنا؟ حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. الحمد لله طلعنا بالسلام.
Mohammed carries Ibrahim for the last part of the journey. Behind them, the remaining patients and medical staff at the Nasser Hospital come under attack. The following day, the last journalists and doctors to leave are hit by a drone. A female doctor is badly injured.
Ya Allah!
The Nasser Hospital will remain closed for 5 months. Each of Gaza's 36 hospitals has been attacked, with 19 closed down altogether. Medical equipment has been deliberately destroyed. By February 15th, 72% of the buildings in Gaza have been damaged or destroyed, and 46% of those in southern Gaza. The official death toll stands at 28,663. The assault on Gaza is facilitated by Western powers. 69% of Israel's arms imports come from the US, 30% from Germany. Behind the scenes, another country plays a key role.
I'm proud to stand here with you in Israel's darkest hour. As your friend, we will stand with you in solidarity. We will stand with your people, and we also want you to win.
Thank you.
At Akrotiri on Cyprus, the UK maintains a large air force base less than 400 kilometres from Gaza. A British investigative journalist looks at the role RAF Akrotiri is playing.
So in December, the UK government announced that they were going to start doing surveillance flights over Gaza for hostage rescue, they said. But they didn't say where they were going to go from, they didn't say how many there were going to be or what they were going to collect or how long they were in the air for. So I started looking at flight tracker websites. On the 3rd of December, this flight goes. Here you can see. So it flies from RAF Akrotiri on Cyprus and then over the sea turns off its transponder so you can't see where it's going. And there were dozens of them straight away. And these are 6-hour flights. They're in the air for 6 hours. The planes are R1 Shadow planes. Their capabilities include target acquisition for military strikes. And the information the British were getting, they were sharing with the Israelis. Now, they said it was all to do with hostage rescue, but even at that point, there was only 2 British hostages in Gaza. So it also doesn't explain there was up to 1,000 hours of footage by March that they would have collected over Gaza.
Matt Kenar's reporting prompts demonstrations in Cyprus.
Get out of Cyprus! Get out!
With Israel under investigation by the International Court of Justice for genocide, the assistance given by the UK and other Western powers has legal implications.
If you start acting in a conflict to a level that the people on the ground who are doing the fighting are using your information actively as they fight, you can't just say the Israelis are doing things and we want them to behave differently if they're killing too many civilians, but we're not really involved. Actually, you may be a party to the conflict yourself. If you continue to know and continue to supply weapons and targeting information, if you're supplying targeting information despite knowing what the result is, and the result is a gross human rights violation, then you also get to complicity. So, you know, the deniability that you're deeply involved in what's going on in Gaza begins to evaporate.
Western politicians blame Hamas for the high death toll.
They use Palestinian civilians as human shields. Hamas offers nothing but terror and bloodshed with no regard to who pays the price.
They unleash terror, then hide among them women and children used as human shields.
This claim goes entirely unchallenged in the West, but there is no evidence to support it.
The claim is basically that armed groups are operating in populated areas in Gaza. And that is basically what is meant in many cases when somebody says Hamas is using human shields.
If your territory is as small as the Gaza Strip, it's near impossible to locate your military bases far away from civilian infrastructure and civilian areas.
We don't have evidence that Palestinian armed groups are, you know, hiding right next to civilians and not allowing the civilians to leave, right? An element of human shielding is that you either don't tell them that you're right there, or they know you're there, but you don't allow them to leave if you're the guy with the gun.
We conducted several interviews, dozens of interviews with civilians and with people, Palestinians, in areas that were designated as combat zones. But we have not documented at least one case of Palestinian armed members using civilians as human shields.
I have never, not once, seen any Hamas operatives in any of the hospitals that I have reported from. Not a Shifa hospital, not their European hospital, not Nasser hospital, not Al-Quds hospital. There are dozens of journalists reporting from these hospitals, and not one journalist is ready to put their lives in danger in being in a place where they can see Hamas members or operatives.
There has to be a purpose in using a civilian as a human shield. The party that uses civilians as human shields need to understand that the other party would be concerned for the safety of this civilian. But in the case of Gaza, civilians here have been one of the main targets of the Israeli army since the beginning of the attack. So there wouldn't be a purpose in using a civilian as a human shield because the civilian himself is a target.
Israel has regularly been condemned for using human shields by the UN and numerous international and Israeli human rights organizations.
There used to be something that was known as the neighbor procedure. It was called this by the military, where you would go into a house, you'd get somebody from the house, and you'd get them to walk in front of you and take them to the next door neighbor's house and then knock on the door and open it up. And the idea would be that you're behind them with the gun, so if there's a guy inside the house with a gun, they're not going to shoot at their own neighbor, and then you can kill them.
I want to ask you, are these men being detained? Yes. You can't use them as human shields. This is a war crime. You know that, right? They're standing in front of your Jeep. That's not a human shield?
Masked Israeli soldiers use a 7-year-old child when confronted by stone throwers. Al Jazeera has uncovered evidence the Israelis are using human shields in this conflict as well.
صار في اشتباك بينهم وبين شباب في المقاومة خارج البيت يعني خلف المنزل فأخذوا أخذونا إحنا رجال وحطونا عند الشرفة وكانوا حاطين الأسلحة تاعتهم فوق روسنا ويطلقوا رصاص على الجهة الأخرى للشباب وإحنا كنا مثل سواتر أو دروع بشرية إنه شافونا بتكلم لغة إنجليزية قال لي بدك تطلع هو كان الرشاش من البلكونة شايفني وقال لي أي حركة منك يعني بتروح أو بتحرك أنا حأطلق رصاص عليك فاضطريت أنه أدخل في أماكن حفار وأماكن كذا وأقول له أنه ما فيش أحد وأرجع تاني فطلب مني أنه أدخل بيوت المنطقة كلها
This description fits with evidence obtained by Al Jazeera. A civilian is ordered to inspect empty buildings while monitored by two drones. In this case, two civilians are fitted with cameras and are ordered to inspect buildings in case of booby traps or ambushes.
خدونا على شحن شبحوني خارج الشحن مش داخل بالشكل هذا في ايدي واحدة في ايد واحدة ربطنا مربط بلاستيك من ايدي اليمين وربطني خارج الشحن وانا مجرد من كامل ملابسي كانت الدنيا مطر.
Footage from the occupied West Bank supports this account. This photograph is taken by an Israeli soldier in Gaza City. The eye unit has spoken to six individuals who say they were used as human shields.
Since the beginning of this ground invasion, we have documented dozens of cases where civilians were actually used as human shields by the Israeli army, forcing them to enter combat zones or enter places or enter buildings that they think are, for example, booby-trapped. Or where they think that there might be armed members of Palestinian factions inside one area or another. And this is being used on a daily basis.
Where you see it cropping up on a continuous, widespread basis, then investigators and prosecutors will look high up to see if that is being countenanced, if it's either coming down as a direct direction from those above, or they're turning a blind eye. And in both of those cases, it can incur command responsibility for those in the chain of command.
After being held within Gaza for a few days, many detainees are transferred to Israel. By mid-February, more than 8,000 Palestinians are being held in detention centers. Israel's Channel 13 makes no attempt to conceal their conditions. The guards claim these prisoners are all Nukba, the elite unit of Hamas's Qassam brigades.
ואתה אפשר לראות שמדובר במיטות קומותיים בלי מזרן ואין אסלה, רק בול פגיעה וחושך כמעט מוחלט לאורך היום. כולם מזוקים ברגליים כל הזמן ואחד לשני.
יש להם לחם ו...
דוד פוטרת סיג'ן תגריבן 45 יום כאן את מודת סיג'ן תבעת מודת להתקול 45 יום על הדריב, על התקסיר, על העיקב ווגפנע על גדיר סו תחזיה פוג מה תצוור.
Fadi Bakr is held at the Sadeh Timan Detention Center in southern Israel.
يعني ما كانش هو عبارة عن معتقل أو سجن سدي تيمان لا كان سدي تيمان للانتقام أقول لك أصعب موقف أنا عشته في سجن سدي تيمان معتقل سدي تيمان نادوا على أسماء ثلاث أشخاص كان اسمي من بين الثلاث أسماء هذول طلعنا مساحة إسمنتية مخصصة لنوع واحد من نوع التعذيب بس نوع واحد من نوع التعذيب فكوا عنينا قاعدين على ركبنا إجوا أخذوا شاب كان موجود أخذوه ضربوه بعد ما ضربونا يموه على الأرض على بطنه ربطوا ديه وربطوا رجلي واقفين تقريبا 9 جنود أو 8 جنود كانوا موقفين لفجأة جردوه من ملابسه السفلية إجا كابتن كان موجود إجا زي وضع مادة إشي حاجة إشي يعني عن مؤخرة الشر وأطلقوا وكان في كلب موجود أطلقوا عليه الكلب كلب هذا يعني كيف أقول لك مش مارس الجنس اغتصب الشاب اغتصبه في معنى الكلمة اغتصاب تام
those who are captured in armed conflict, whether they are civilians or fighters, have to be treated humanely. They certainly cannot be beaten and tortured and raped. That's absolutely fundamental in humanitarian law.
Nine soldiers are later arrested at the Sadeh Taman detention center after a detainee is admitted to hospital. Right-wing demonstrators stormed the detention center in protest at the arrest of the soldiers. Shortly afterwards, Israeli television shows an alleged rape taking place behind a row of riot shields. According to Israeli press reports, the victim suffers
a ruptured bowel, a severe injury to his anus, lung damage, and broken ribs.
Many emerge from detention traumatized.
قتل ضرب جوع فقر مرض 2000 أسير أمراض مزمنة جدا أمراض قوية جدا وضعهم سيء جدا لهم الله أنا فرقتهم على اليوم لو متنا مع بعض.
An aid convoy is hit 3 times. 6 foreign aid workers are killed, along with their Palestinian driver. With the Israelis severely restricting supplies of aid to the Strip, hundreds of thousands face starvation.
The hunger is real. It's actually felt by everybody. You see them in the hospitals when the children just collapse. And they come in and they're skeletal. All of the doctors in our team would sort of kind of have these informal debriefs. And every day, malnutrition.
The April 1st missile strike is not the only attack on an aid convoy.
It was not an isolated incident. We, Human Rights Watch, documented another 7 cases where very specifically humanitarian and aid workers were attacked after having given the Israeli military their precise coordinates and detailed information about their activities and their movements. In some cases, it looks like the precise coordinates that aid groups gave to the Israeli military to deconflict and keep themselves safe were then hit precisely by Israeli attacks. So our assessment is very clearly that the Israeli authorities are using starvation as a weapon of war in Gaza. It's a double war crime. You have collective punishment of the civilian population, and you specifically have the use of starvation as a weapon of war.
By June 27th, 72% of buildings in northern Gaza have been damaged or destroyed, and 51% in southern Gaza. The death toll stands at 37,765. As troops leave Gaza, they place commemorative videos online. This video documents the activities of the 202nd Paratroopers Battalion.
I'm just going to hold this here. I'm going to play this back again. This is extraordinary. The fact that he's put this onto video, he's released this on YouTube, to me is kind of quite extraordinary, the degree of impunity.
The video shows two other instances where unarmed men are shot by snipers.
Now, of course, I don't know the context of what happened before. I don't know what happened 2 minutes before that. They may have been involved in contacting and shooting at Israeli forces. They may have been legitimate targets, but it sure doesn't look like it to me.
Just because a civilian is walking in an area where combat is going on does not make them fair game. If they get involved in hostilities at a particular moment, yes, they lose their civilian status. They can be targeted. But then you have to show on the evidence that they are presenting a threat to you. It's potentially a matter that the International Criminal Court would want to look at.
Large numbers of Palestinians have been killed by snipers, including women and children. On July 25th, 45 American physicians, surgeons, and nurses who have volunteered in Gaza since October 7th write to President Biden. They state,
"Every one of us on a daily basis treated preteen children who were shot in the head and chest."
Allahu Akbar.
Since October 7th, the Qassam Brigades, the military wing of Hamas, have released over 300 combat videos.
The IDF is fighting ghosts. They're fighting against targets that appear and disappear quite quickly. And the tunnel system in itself has made this an urban combat scenario, which is very unique in human military history. There's never been a scenario such as this, where you have two layers of a battlefield. We usually talk about controlling the ground. We never had to really talk about controlling the underground.
Allahu Akbar!
When it comes to tunnels, you are talking about around 500 to 600 kilometers under the ground in different depths, 20 meters, 30 meters, 40 meters. With the tunnels, we were able to move underground to plan and to attack the enemy, and he has lost the ability to control the field.
Now, the idea that Hamas is near elimination is nonsensical. Hamas is still out there. They've not yet been decisively defeated. They are nowhere near decisively defeated, in my view. Deterrence has not been restored.
The beginning of the war, it was about destroying Hamas, bringing the hostages home. But right now, the hostages are still, 120 hostages are dead. Hamas is still fighting. So the problem was from the beginning, setting an objective that is not achievable.
The official Israeli death toll from the fighting in Gaza is 346. In August, Israel's defense ministry said more than 10,000 soldiers have registered as wounded, 35% of them suffering mental trauma. The official Palestinian death toll stands at more than 41,000. Almost 100,000 have been injured. The Palestinian death toll does not include thousands still buried under the rubble and those who have died from hunger and lack of access to medication and healthcare. It's possible the final toll for dead and injured in the Gaza Strip will be more than 10% of the total population.
Where is it?
The Americans and Germans continue to provide weaponry. The new Labour government in the UK continues to operate surveillance flights. And Israeli soldiers continue to pose for photos.
Palestinians are aware that they have been abandoned, that the world that speaks of human rights and international law is lying, that those concepts are meant for white people or for Westerners, that accountability is not meant to hold their oppressors to account, that they have been really kind of discarded like rubbish.
انه انا مصور صحفي بس بالنهايه انا انسان. بني آدم بحس وبشوف، لأنه شايف شغلنا ملوش داعي، شايف صوتنا ملوش داعي. أنا لما بقولهم يا عمي قصفوا المستشفى، يا عمي في ناس بتموت، يا عمي فيش أدوية فيش أكل، ولا حدا بتطلع ولا حدا بساعد، أنا يئست. أنا لمين بصور عن جد؟ أنا لمين بصور؟ لمين بوصل الرسالة؟ لكن على الواقع ما تغيرش إشي، على الواقع الأمور بتزيد أصعب وأسوأ وأسوأ.
لمين كالصوري؟ لمين كالصوري؟ لمين؟ لمين بدك الصوري؟ لمين؟ مين بدور علينا؟ مين بدور علينا؟
أنا أنت يا أبا سلمى، سلمى سلمى يا أبا سعيد، سعيد سعيد.
International law has been trashed by the actions of the Israeli military, by the actions of the parties to this conflict, but also by the actions of their allies, which look at what's going on and continue to pour gasoline on the flames.
The West has spent decades creating this rules-based order, and it's finally been laid bare as a big sham, as just a way to further Western interests. This is the jungle. Is this the new order, where it's just out in the open that those with power can do whatever they want?